Hey, this is Samir.
Hey, this is Alec.
And this is Beyond the Beats. Welcome to episode 55. Let's get it going.
What's going on, EDM champions? Welcome to yet another week of Beyond the Beats. It is a podcast about EDM news and culture. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome, and we hope you enjoy the show. As you can hear in the background, we've got a really deep, dark type of on repeat for you this week. This is going to take you to another place. This is my on repeat. It's PAAF, PAAF, with his song, Highly.
I don't think we've ever played this kind of sound on the show before, dude. This is truly, truly unique stuff. Like, as soon as you sent this over to me, man, it brought me into another world, and I'm really, really pumped up about this. Can you tell me a little bit about PAAF? Like, how'd you come across this guy?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's one of those, actually, where I was just going down a bit of a rabbit hole on Spotify. You know, you can kind of do that when you're looking for artists that might be out of your general listening patterns, right? So I really was trying to find other people, and the first step I tried to do in doing so was looking at foreign artists. So PAAF, or I think that's how you pronounce it, or you put it together, PAAF, however you want to say it, he's from Poland, and so he's actually quite big in the Baltic states of Europe and Eastern Europe there. So he's got quite, you know, he's getting quite a bit of following there, which is why I didn't put him on as an artist we're watching, just because he's a little bit too established, I think, for that section. But man, he just has an incredible blend of trance with trap, right? And so this is kind of what he categorizes this song as. And he delves into future as well. There's just a lot of different aspects in there. And then there's even some songs where it has this type of beat and it's this kind of trancey vibe to it with rap on top of it. So it's very interesting. And if you listen to any type of Eastern European pop, it's actually quite electronic. So it really
nice.
Goes.
I feel like you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's like when my girlfriend started first playing for me Eastern European pop, I was like, this is just sounds like it's got a bit of trance in it. You know, that's just in the pop culture there. But yeah, I mean, that's how I came across him, just looking at foreign artists. I highly recommend if you do that, like just go to the charts somewhere, you know, for a different country, then just go down that rabbit hole and you'll find some really interesting people. And this is just, I wish this guy toured in the US or did something, because I can imagine his shows are pretty wacky.
Dude, I love that. I love that suggestion of how to find like new artists that you may not easily be able to come across, like going into foreign countries' charts and like seeing who is trending in those charts. Because shout out to Steven on this one. He actually sent in a question about how do we find artists, like how do we find music? And I love that. And like we can add this, what you just said, onto a multitude of other ways that Alec and I try to find music. So just kind of running down some of those quick ways that we do it. We follow a lot of social media accounts for record labels. So if you follow those labels and if you follow some of your favorite artists, you're going to be up to date on what they're releasing. And better yet, just kind of going into those SoundCloud profiles of those record labels and just kind of drilling down into what artists have released on those labels. Then if you find something that you like, click on the artist's name and see who they are following and see who they are listening to. Better yet, artists are doing this big thing on Spotify where they are creating their own playlist of music that they really like. And one thing that's really great is that if you like an artist's specific sound, more than likely, they're also enjoying artists who kind of match their sound or take a different spin on their particular genre that they're in. So just a couple of different ways to find some new music. And Alec, I love what you said, exploring different charts for different countries. I think that's such a great idea.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's just the last bit on that one as well. I don't find him through a chart necessarily, but if you just start clicking on different names, you start exploring those sounds, you'll get to people who, you know, might be lesser known in general, right? So, I mean, he's got, I think it's about 100K on Spotify. So he's big, but he's not, yeah. You know, it's not huge. What I've also found too, and it goes off of what you were saying, Samir, with the artists having the playlist, is that if you follow people who are a little bit more underground, you will find that the type of people they're listening to are also people who are underground, which I find really neat because they're supporting
I
each
love
other.
That.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how to be honest, that's how I find the majority of the artists we're watching now for the future, is just going through and seeing what the other artists that we've talked about, who they're listening to. So
I do the same thing.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, yeah. But that's a great way to really get in and get stuck into the heart of the EDM underworld. So definitely try that out if you have some spare time.
Of course, every big name starts as an underground artist, man. You know, like, this is the time. Go find them. Go follow them. You know what? Listen to the music that we play on the show. Let's all support each other. I think now more than ever, we should be supporting each other. So, dude, let's get into it a little bit. I want to talk about what we're going over in episode 55 of Beyond the Beats. All right, guys, peep this. We got some new music from the artists that we're watching. That includes people like Ketone. He just teamed up with somebody big. We got Rohan. We got Dirty Fun. It's going to be a great time. A lot of great music to play there. Then we're diving into the new music from this past week. We're talking about Rez. We're talking about Alesso, Lane 8, Weewex, Subtronics, and a lot more. Diving in to the news and culture. All right. You know what? I know we've been talking about COVID-19 a lot on the podcast. There's still some updates that are coming out. And you guys know we are in tap with what's going on in the EDM scene. And we want to keep you guys updated as well. So we're going to be talking about Electric Forest, Burning Man. And then we're also going to be talking about Coachella. And also, we're going to be talking about one of Alec's favorite artists. If you know who it is, then keep it to yourself for now until we get to that section of the show. Then we got the anti-plur moment. We got the what are we listening to. We're talking about two very interesting picks. Alec and I have some differing opinions, but we're going to go over that. And then, of course, we're capping the show with the artists that we're watching. Alec and I picked two artists that are just radically different from each other, and we're very, very excited to be talking about them. Back to the top, Alec, let's talk about some new music from the artists that we're watching. Dude, let's start this off with Ketone teaming up with who? Who is an artist that we're watching teaming up with again?
Oh man, big person here, Artie, bringing in the heavy artillery there with
him. I think Artie is an EDM champion. Artie, if you're listening to this, we would love to have you on the show. So hit our DMs, please.
Slide in our DMs, you have our permission.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting because Artie seems to be teaming up with some more of the underground artists, or rather, not necessarily underground, but people who are on the rise. So I really appreciate when you see larger artists doing that, you know, because they clearly see what they're doing. They see what's on the, you know, cutting edge there in terms of music. And they go and team up for them. And I'll tell you what, I was very impressed with this song.
Me too. Yeah, dude. I was not actually expecting this sound with, having Artie's name on this. But I think Ketone, an artist that we're watching, had very, very heavy influence on this track. We love to see it. So guys, I think you're going to be surprised by what you're about to hear. This is Artie and Ketone teaming up for the song Redline. Check it out.
I love I love Keytone's influence in this, and you can certainly hear his signature sound coming through.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped up on this. I mean, it's pretty much, it's a house track. It's a more modern day house track, which again, you don't really expect to hear that from Artie. You do expect to hear from Keytone, so shout out to Keytone. This is a massive collaboration. We're very pumped up for you. Next one that we're talking about, Alec, we got Rohan and Tech Genesis. Let me just start by saying, I was tuned into the Cannot Be Canceled online virtual music festival this past weekend. Tech Genesis was the last set of the second day, and dude, he was murdering it. I mean, it was such a great set. So now to see Rohan and Tech Genesis, Rohan is an artist that we're watching, we've recently featured him, but to see them now both teaming up for a pretty aggressive DMB song, I was really pumped up on this. Alec, what'd you think?
Dude, Rohan, first of all, is on an absolute tear right now. I mean, he is just crushing the D&B game. And I'm really glad that he has introduced everyone to Tech Genesis with this track. I wasn't aware of it before I listened to this. And Samir, it's so funny. I actually did not get to see that festival, which is such a shame.
Oh,
because
so
I would have
good,
loved
dude.
To see this set. Like, I mean, you know, I think you said it perfectly well there. There's a little bit of an aggressive edge to this song. It's got a little bit more of that jump up type of style D&B in there, which is making people just want to get crazy and get loose. So I'm a big, big fan of this song.
Yeah, me too, man. And you know what? We just got to get this to the EDM champions right now. Guys, peep this. This is Rohan and Tech Genesis teaming up for their song People of Eve. Check it out.
This is the type of thing that's just getting you ready, getting you pumped out if you want to go for a big night out. This is the type of track that you want to put on. It's as people going out the door, let's get energy, let's get into some fun, right? This
Hell
is
yeah,
just
man.
A perfect track for that. So shout out to these two for just coming together for an absolute banger.
All right, dude. Well, speaking of fun, I think it's time we had a little bit of dirty fun, Alec.
I was hoping you would not go there, but you did.
Oh, no, baby. I'm going there. Let's have some dirty fun, Alec. Who are we talking about next from some new music from the artists that we're watching?
Well, you could have some dirty fun with someone else, but just paying attention to this person. He is just tearing it up in the house scene. I mean, just absolutely love it. Just got some bassy elements to it. Really just wants to get you moving. And what an interesting title for this track. It's called Time Travel.
Love this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this was such a great, great house track, man. I mean, I love the vocal samples he was using in this. It just kept it so much fun. It kept you on your toes. And you know what? Without further ado, we got one last song we got to play for you in this section. This is Dirty Fun's brand new song, Time Travel. Check it out. Back from the future, back from the
house music is just on a tear in the underground community, and Dirty Fun is leading the charge with his take on this. It's just, I love it, man. Just such a great track. And I just love to see how much high quality and also very creative house music is coming out of the underbelly of the scene.
That was perfectly, perfectly said. So shout out to all the artists that were watching. You guys are continuing to kill it. Let's move on into some new music from some bigger name artists. We're going to kick this section off with Alesso and Liam Payne. Alec, they teamed up for their song Midnight. What did you think of this one?
I was very surprised by this song, man. You know, when I saw this line, you know, team coming together for this track, I was very interested. I thought Alesso would put a bit more of a big room take on it, right? But I did not realize that this he was just going to go almost full indie on this one. So I enjoyed it. I thought I appreciated it. I didn't, you know, it wasn't my favorite thing, to be perfectly honest, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice track that maybe you could have on in the background. You know, what about you?
Yeah, I was not about this, and that's all right. You know, not every single song that Alesso puts out is gonna be captivating as some of his previous releases. I mean, Alesso's just been on an absolute tear recently with his releases. So, you know, man, I'm not gonna listen to this again. I'm sorry. I feel like this is just one of those songs that was ready for the radio, and it's gonna accomplish just that. Like, it's got Alesso and Liam Payne on it. Two huge names in their own respective genres. So this is just a perfect collaboration for the radio. This is not a good collaboration for me, so I'm skipping this one.
Yeah, man, I totally feel that. I think this is going to be for some people out there. So champions, if you do think that you might like this track a bit more of an indie, you know, very acoustic with the guitar in there, definitely check out the show notes, which you can find on our website. It's www.beyondthebeats.co. That's www.beyondthebeats.co. You'll find all the links to everything we're talking about, which is particularly important for these sections because we go through a lot of music. All right, Lane 8 with their song Bear Hug. What do you think of this release, man?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it, man. I'm a big fan of Lane 8, you know, and especially with his most recent album that just came out. I thought this is just a great follow-up single to that. Lane 8 does such a great job of kind of building tension in his releases and releasing them right at the right time. He's got some great elements swirling around in this house track. I'm a really big fan of this, Alec. It's not necessarily like your classic house, you know what I mean? It's got a little bit more of a subdued feel to it, but I'm a big fan of Lane 8, and I really like this song Bear Hug. What did you think?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of really cool artists in this space where it's you know, it's a deep house combined with some progressive almost, and then you've got a little bit of a trance type of feel there. So this is,
yes sir,
a nice subgenre there for everyone that's interested in those. It's kind of in between all of this, and I think a lot of people would just kind of refer to him as a deep house artist. I mean,
yeah,
I've always wanted to go see him live. That's just something I've always wanted to do. Apparently, the vibes are incredible. I mean, he's done shows where you're not allowed to have your phone at all.
Yeah, like, I know. I love that.
You know, no recording. Like, it's just you're there in the moment. And I think that's, to be honest, like, I think that's what you need for this type of music. You know, really, Lane 8 in this type of music is very much a vibe. So you have to be in the right setting and in the right mindset for it. And I think doing things like having no phones is certainly going to help you focus on the song and really appreciate the almost hidden melodies that are in there.
And you could trust Alec. He is the vibe king, as we've recently established on the podcast.
Yeah, you've heard of Tiger King. I'm the vibe king now.
Exactly, exactly.
That's a new thing. I've just, ever since coming out to California, man, all about the vibes, you know?
I love it. I think it's really, really great, man. You know, like, I've taken over the anti-plur moment pretty much, you know? And
you really have.
You've just been chilled out.
You're quite an angry dude of recent. I think it's because you get older.
Angry.
I think you're getting grumpy.
Don't say that, man. I found some gray hairs in my beard, and I'm not happy about
that.
All right.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
Seriously?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, man. So let's talk about this next one. We got Armin van Buuren, Tom Starr, and Mossiman. I think that's how you say it. I don't know. Teaming up for their song, Still Better Off. Alec, this one was kind of interesting. First of all, I just want to say, I feel like Armin van Buuren, every 2 or 3 weeks, he's putting out a new song. The guy does not stop. I don't know what is going on with him, but he is constantly pumping out tunes, and obviously he was always touring, and he has his own record label. He's got A State of Trance. I just don't know how he does it all, but he somehow accomplishes it. Alec, what did you think of Still Better Off? Did you like this one?
I did, man. I did. You know, and I'm glad that we're getting a little bit more trance representation in this podcast. This was a good one, man. It's if you know Armin, you're definitely going to recognize what he's doing with this track. But I love to see the influence also of the other artists that Samir mentioned, Tom Starr and Mossiman, or however you say his name.
Mossiman, yeah.
Yeah, Mossiman, there you go. It's just, this is definitely a very, very solid track. And I'm glad that he has decided to do a bit more in line with what he normally does. I feel like some of his releases have been a bit poppy right? But this is definitely getting back to kind of his, you know, deeper sound.
Deeper was the perfect way to put it, dude. And I think Tom Starr being on this track with a lot of house influence really gave it that vibe that that we're loving right now. And I think everybody should be checking this one out because it's really is like a new sound from Armin that we haven't heard before. And that's the beauty of collaboration. So guys, once again, that song is called Still Better Off, and that's by Armin van Buuren, Tom Starr, and Massimon. Dude, let's turn it over to this next one. All right. We got Wewek and we got Wukong for their song Siam Rising. What did you think?
Intriguing is a word I put with this. I think it was kind of
some Vietnamese flute was in there.
Exactly, yeah. Which I thought was really quite cool. I was expecting a little bit more for them to do with on the first drop, but I did really actually enjoy just the different influence that was in there. And Wewek is definitely really good at incorporating those more worldly sounds. So I was certainly intrigued by this song. Was it my favorite in terms of the execution of it? No, but I was really intrigued with it. And I think it was quite cool how they went out and really put in a different type of sound.
I totally agree. And I really like that they were trying something new here because I feel like sometimes we miss out on some Southeast Asian influences. So, you know, the fact that there was like a Vietnamese flute in there, I thought that was really, really neat. I don't know. The execution, Alec, I think you said it perfectly, was just not there. At points, I found this song a little bit too annoying. Yep. I'm glad that it was changing up a lot, but also, like, I found this song to be a little bit irritating. Like, I don't want to hear this live. You know, I'm just going to put that out there.
Is this a one-listed for you?
Yeah, probably. Like, if I was at a show and this song came on, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to cross my arms and say, nah. Not about it, fam. You can't get me into this. But some people might like it. And again, I thought like having Southeast Asian influence in this track was really cool. I just think the execution could have been done a little bit better. But, you know, we'll see what other people think. So, Alec, one last one because I'm very excited to be talking about this with you. Subtronics. He just released an EP. It's called Scream Saver. Not Screen, Scream Saver. What did you think of the 4-track EP from Subtronics?
I liked it, man. I did. You know, I feel like we haven't talked about too much dubstep on this podcast, actually. And we've forgotten that there's a lot of people who are on the forefront of this, such as Subtronics, doing some really interesting things here. You know, of course, everyone is really big on him and Grizz doing a lot of collaboration, especially for Grizztronics. But as on his own right, he's also doing a lot of different creative things. And I thought this was a really creative EP. I wasn't a fan of all of the songs, but I did enjoy the creativity that came, especially in the drops that you just, it's hard to describe. I don't know how you describe dubstep music verbally, right? Like, I'm not entirely sure without using horrible sound effects. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but this is a really solid release that I know all the bass heads out there will really appreciate. What about you, man? What do you think?
I loved it. I thought this was a ton of fun to listen to, man. And the creativity, I mean, it was just pulled off so well. Speaking of what kind of sound you could expect from this, like, you know how, like, our parents are like, oh, well, this music sounds like just dial-up tones. Well, I mean, I think if we were talking about Subtronics music, I think you can absolutely say that, but Subtronics makes it very, very danceable. You know what I mean? So I don't mean that in a bad way at all. He makes it very enjoyable to listen to, and just throws so much goddamn creativity into it, man. The one thing, though, I am concerned about Subtronics, man. He was getting weird on some of these songs. I think somebody needs to check on Subtronics, make sure that he's okay. That song Blow Stuff Up was so funny.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to listen to. I love Discotech. Lullaby with Virus Syndicate was a ton of fun. Just gets you super hyped up. And then, of course, the title track Scream Saver was just pulled off very well. I'm a big, big fan of this EP, and I definitely would catch Subtronics once he's touring again and once world comes back to normal.
I think you described it quite perfectly there. It's just, he's definitely got a bit of a weird vibe with it. But that's what it is, man. And that's
I love it.
That's part of the point, and I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's not in a derogatory or negative way whatsoever. But we'll be putting this up on our Instagram or into the stories, which you can see. You're going to just want to make sure you check those out in case you forget to go hit on the subscribe button for all these different artists. But if you want to check out these songs right now, take a quick break. Remember, you can go to our website. That's www.beyondthebeats.co. And then you can go check out our Instagram when we put it up on the stories. It's going to be at btb.pod. And we'll also do some tweeting. So if you want to tweet at us, get those Twitter fingers ready. It's at podbtb. Okay, man. I mean, this is something we have been talking about a lot on the podcast recently, and it's funny. I was just talking to family members today. For everyone, it's Easter Sunday when we're recording this, so happy Easter to everyone out there.
Happy Easter. I forgot about
and
that.
And Passover, yeah, exactly, if you're celebrating that. I was talking to them, and it just seems like there's nothing really much else to talk about. You know, COVID-19 is just affecting everyone across the globe. I mean, and it's hard as someone that's reporting on certain news, even in this very niche industry here, in this niche area, it's just something that seems to seep into absolutely every piece of news. So, I know it seems like we're kind of talking about this all the time, but genuinely we're trying to find some of the more recent updates for you just so that you can stay in the know, as there's a lot of noise out there, a lot of things that are doing that. So if you want to know how it's affecting EDM, that's why we've been covering it quite extensively. And so with that preface over, eForest is in danger, right? They're in danger of being cancelled here. And to be honest, it might be canceled by the time that this episode airs. Samir, I mean, this is something we've already talked about, going to Electroforest as being a festival that we really need to go to. You know, what are people who have tickets? What's happening to them? Do you know?
Well, okay, so the cancellation isn't official just yet, but the outlook is looking very, very grim. Just about a week and a half ago to maybe about 2 weeks ago from the time that this podcast is going to come out, the village of Rothbury denied the postponement dates that were presented to them for Electric Forest. And it wasn't done like out of spite. It's not like, you know, Rothbury Village like has like an issue with Electric Forest. It's just that they are seeing, and I think Michigan especially has become a state where it's seeing a lot of cases of COVID-19 rising up. So they are getting concerned for the betterment of the public health and the people that live here. They decided to not grant that change. Now, Insomniac, from the time of this recording, has not yet put out a statement saying that the festival has been postponed or canceled. But I will read to you guys what they said in an Instagram post. Forest family, HQ has been working hard to explore alternative dates for Electric Forest 2020 and find a time that works best for both our community and our neighbors. At this time, the Rothbury Village Council is not able to approve alternate dates for this year. We're exploring all of our options and will provide you with updates as soon as we can. We appreciate your patience and support while we work through this news. So, You know what I really like about Insomniac handling this, number one, is that as soon as the video of the Rothbury Village Council denying the dates, like as soon as that hit Twitter, that evening, this statement from Insomniac came out, right? And the statement obviously is not saying a lot. It's not saying like, oh, yes, it's postponed, or oh, yes, it's canceled. But it's saying that like, we are aware of the news that just came out, and we know it's on everybody's mind. We hear you. And they put out a statement, and it's a lackluster statement, but it's important nonetheless to be very open with communication. And I think that's something that Insomniac and the head of Insomniac, Pasquale Rotella, has been doing tremendously, tremendously well. So, Alec, you brought up the question of tickets, like what's going to happen to the tickets. Obviously, at this time, we don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, Electric Forest is sold out, but with Pasquale Rotella, with Insomniac behind this festival, and especially with Live Nation behind Insomniac events, I have a good feeling that ticket holders for Electric Forest will be able to get their refunds or hold on to the tickets for a postponement.
Well, that's good. That's good news. And going off of that, man, I feel like Insomniac has actually done a fantastic job across the board just with their communication in general. You know, for EDC, for, you know, Beyond Wonderland, for everything. And they've just done absolutely everything within their power to, you know, hold off as long as they can before canceling or postponing something, and then also coming up with solutions that really, really are good for the ticket holders. I mean, relatively speaking, right? I mean, it's not going to be perfect. I think it's smart that they've gone ahead and, you know, they're talking about potential postponement. I think it's good that they're having that conversation. And what I enjoy is that they're not just like, you know, oh, surprise, we're canceling it, right? You know, they're getting the public ready for it. They're getting people ready. It's proactive communication. And I think there's a lot of lessons that can be learned from the handling of everything that's been going on. Because so far, in my personal opinion, I mean, I think they've done the best out of anybody in terms of handling.
I totally
this.
Agree, man. You know, I mean, this is a shining light for some lesser quality promoters of events. Ultra, I'm looking at you, okay? I'm going to rip on Ultra every single episode, dude. I'm sorry, but it's got to be done. Fuck Ultra. You heard it right here on Beyond the Beats from Samir, not from Alec. That's my opinion, not Alec's opinion. So,
thank you. I
anyways,
appreciate that.
Yeah, I just, I just want to make sure. So, you know what, guys? You already know, like, we'll keep everybody up to date with what's going to happen with Electric Forest. But, I mean, it is pretty fair to say that the event that was supposed to take place from June 25th to June 28th in Sherwood Forest in Michigan will not be happening. And it's a good move in terms of public health. And we'll see what happens to the fate of the festival for finding alternative dates for this year. I don't know. It's not looking good. So we'll have to find out.
Similarly, on a similar note, unfortunately, it's not looking too hot or good for Burning Man, because Burning Man has been canceled. That's unbelievable, because I feel like Burning Man has just continuously gone on just for years, right?
Dude, 30 years.
It's insane.
30 years.
Absolutely
insane.
Oh my God. I mean, this is the first time that it's been canceled, right, in their time, I believe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The first time Burning Man has been canceled. And it's not shocking, right? It's not shocking that it happened. But, you know, for a festival with such a long history of putting on this event time after time, 30 years running. I mean, it's crazy that Burning Man has been canceled. You know, so the event was supposed to take place from August 30th to September 7th. So let's look at it this way, right? An event that's supposed to take place August 30th to September 7th has been canceled. Like, that's the original date of Burning Man, not like postponement dates. It's been canceled, and they're not even attempting to postpone it for, you know, sometime later on in the year. And obviously there's a lot of factors that come into that sort of decision as to like whether we should postpone the festival or not. Like, keep in mind, Burning Man takes place in a desert, right? In a desert in the US. So the temperatures that one can experience in Burning Man, like, they vary pretty wildly. So, like, let's just say they even move this festival like a month or 2 months later, it could become super, super cold at night, which could be dangerous to the people that go to Burning Man, right? So I think this is a really, really good move on Burning Man's part. It's sad that it happened, but let's also think about, like, what does this mean for other events during this time period? Like, Electric Zoo is supposed to take place among those dates here in New York City, Labor Day weekend, right? Dude, I'll be honest, it's not looking good.
It's not looking too hot. No.
Yeah.
And I hate the negativity that comes with this, but, you know, at the same time, I think you just have to be realistic. To be honest, you should just really consider, you know, a lot of things that were planned for the summer that just potentially might not happen. You know, I think that's quite an aggressive decision to go ahead and cancel it. At the same time, there's a lot of stuff that goes into Burning Man and a lot of planning. And just as Samir said, like, you know, it's not an ideal location. I mean, God forbid something does happen to somebody or people do come down with it at the festival. You're in the middle of a desert. You know, it's not an ideal place to go and help. And plus, it would just put a lot of strain on the community resources, and I don't think it's fair to those local communities either. However, you know, it's just sad, because this does really help out the locals because of the economic stimulus it provides. Apparently, the organizers said that this event represents an annual injection of $75 million into the Northern Nevada economy. And that's something that people haven't thought about just with Nevada in general, right? I mean, with Vegas, it's got to be, I mean, that's basically entirely all about tourism, right? And events. Mm-hmm. Though that's really the economy there. And I think just for a large portion of Nevada, that also is part of the economy too. So this is just, you know, it's a sad thing to do, but I think at the end of the day, it's a smart decision, maybe a little bit early, but at the same time, I think they're just trying to be realistic with this and also give themselves enough time to plan some sort of alternative, because they are talking about some type of online event, of course. So that would be really interesting to see. I wonder,
can you imagine Burning Man online?
Yeah,
dude?
I'm not sure how that would work, but you know, would you? So here's the thing. Okay, if you had, you know, plans on going to Burning Man, would you be okay with the online version? Would you do it? Because I think they would even, you know, need potentially like a ticket of some sort.
Now, Alec, I mean, keep in mind, I've never been to Burning Man, so it's hard for me to really understand. Like, first of all, I don't really know much about the experience of Burning Man itself, like attending in person. Like, I've heard plenty of stories, I've done a lot of research, but I feel like Burning Man is just one of those festivals where, like, if you have never been there in person, you won't truly understand it.
Mm,
you know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
The eclectic nature of it. There's your word. I'm using eclectic. The eclectic
you love that
nature.
Word, man. I'm glad I'm adding to your vernacular. That's great.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, you're teaching me a lot. This is like a little grammar lesson for myself here. So I'm loving just the wacky nature of it. I'm loving the community feel of it. I love how people literally stand up a city in the middle of a desert. I think it's really, really neat. One of my favorite parts of Burning Man is the mantra that they have, you know, behind the whole, you know, leave no trace. I mean, they do a great job of setting up a massive city in the desert, and then to pretty much have, you know, leave the space as they found it before they got there, I think is such a cool mission. I think the fact that people put so much effort into that mission really just goes to show you the kind of community that Burning Man has built. Now to be able to kind of transpose that to an online festival, dude, I'll be honest, I don't know. I think Burning Man, especially Burning Man, just the kind of festival that it is, relies extremely heavily on the community it's able to stand up in person. Like, look, I think even the live streams that we're getting today from people, from event promoters like Insomniac, mm-hmm. or from, you know, like the people who are behind Tomorrowland, like I think those live streams, as fun as they are, it still doesn't capture the magic of attending those events right. in person. And I think that's going to be extremely hard to capture just in general, right? I mean, like, you know, you and I, we love going to festivals. We love feeling the energy. We love feeling the community. And I think Burning Man takes that literally to the next level. Like, Burning Man is all about everybody coming to the festival, everybody coming to the desert, and offering something to other people. You know, whether that be like palm readings or art classes or like performance classes, and, you know, people kind of bike around the whole desert and like meet new people and experience new things with other people. Like, it's all about human interaction, like physical human interaction. I feel like that's going to be extremely missed if they try to do something online.
It's not going to capture the same, you know, energy, the same experience. But at the same time, I do appreciate that they're trying to do something. And I think
totally.
At the end of the day, people just need to adjust their expectations. And I think that needs to be done across the board. Because the problem is this stuff is not going away necessarily anytime soon. So everyone just needs to manage their expectations a little bit and just accept the fact that maybe we're not going to have quite the summer that we hoped for, right? I mean, that's kind of a yeah. somber note and a tone with it. But I do think that being practical is probably the best way to be right now, just because if you get your hopes up too much, then it's going to be very disappointing. But just to be on a more positive vibe with it, right? If you want to have a little positive spin to it, just imagine all the stuff that's going to happen once we're finally through this, oh. right? Like, imagine,
just,
and that's what I am excited about, to be perfectly honest. I'm no longer thinking about, oh, the summer festivals or the fall festivals mm-hmm. even. I'm looking forward to beyond that. I'm like, there's going to be some crazy partying going on and lots of tours, lots of mini festivals, potentially even new festivals. So, you know, while this has certainly been a very large strain on the economy, and I think that the economy is certainly going to struggle, at the same time, I do feel like we're going to see some really creative ways of partying starting to pop up, right? And there's going to be a lot of different, you know, I think there might be even a focus on smaller festivals at first, but then mm-hmm. you've got those behemoth yeah. festivals. They're going to come around with a hell of an experience when this all blows over. So just keep your mind on that. Keep focused on the future. Just remember that this will end, as with all things. But for now, just focus on keeping healthy, staying safe, and making sure that we all get through this in one piece. And we will.
I love that. Yeah. Alec, thank you for that positive note, man. I'm really looking forward
man.
To 2021
vibes,
and beyond
good
with the
vibes
EDM champions.
Only. You need good
Alec,
vibes.
Alec, you are such a vibe king. You know
you have
what?
To, man, because otherwise I'd go insane. I would go genuinely insane.
Just, totally, you know, dude. It's just,
you have to.
Yeah, how you holding up, man? You doing all right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just, I'm sure people can relate to this, but I do find it hard to maintain peak productivity at home.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's different, at least for me, because I'm just in my little studio apartment here. So there's not much separation of space between work and, you know, sleep or just relaxing.
Yeah.
So it's things kind of bleed into each other. And I've been talking to people where they're working like, you know, really, really late, later than this, than they usually do, just because it took them so long to get kind of in the zone. I mean, how are you feeling? Do you feel that way too?
I think you've already noticed, like, I've become pretty busy at work lately.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that everybody's really in the groove of things with working from home, that, you know, people are just trying to set into their new lifestyles. And I feel like, yeah, you're right. People are working like longer hours, you know what I mean? Which in turn makes you work longer hours. So me personally, the first few weeks of social isolation and social quarantine, you know, I was weathering it pretty well, I like to think, but now I'm starting to get a little bit, you know,
a little antsy.
Getting a little bit antsy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a little antsy,
up,
dude. Like,
little
I'm ready.
Cabin fever.
Yeah, dude. Like, I'm ready to go see people, but obviously I want to be respectful of, you know, the public health and make sure that I'm not putting myself or anybody else or my family in danger. So, you know, with all that being said, I know we're going to get through it and I know it's going to be tough, but, you know, I think, you know, what I'm doing to make myself kind of go through this is I'm just trying to stay productive, and I'm trying to ideate and think of new things for work and think of new things for Beyond the Beats, and you know, just making the most of my time. You know, I'm taking on some new projects, I'm learning some new stuff, so I'm excited about that, and I hope everybody's is keeping well.
Just make use of the time, like, you know, just got to make use of the time. You've got a lot of more time now to maybe focus on some of these projects, or if you're really busy, you know, just try to be as creative as possible. You've got some space from everyone to be able to do that, which is nice. And then just the last quick thing, man, what I've learned to help me through this period too of just feeling antsy is I've just started looking ahead to the future of, like, I don't know, maybe some type of vacation that I want to take, you know? Yeah. And I feel like having that and planning for just planning it, right? No time, like, you know, constraints on it. No, okay, this is when I'd want to do it. If you just pick a country or pick a state or whatever, just plan it out. Like, plan a hypothetical trip there so that you can pull the trigger on it, you have it in your back pocket. So I want to develop like kind of like a mini diary of just all these different places I want to go to, but I'm going to scope it all out beforehand and just have everything, all the cities, all the activity I want to do, just ready. Like, there's no, like, I don't know exactly when I'm going to do it, but, you know, maybe one day I'm like, I finally need a vacation. And, you know,
you need a fucking vacation. You needed a vacation before this whole thing started. Don't even start with me.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's been a long time. But yeah, man, that's kind of my recommendation for you and then for anyone listening.
I think
that's
a really great idea. Yeah, I really like that. I'm going to start doing that. That's been awesome.
There we go.
Cool, man. Dude, I love the positivity. I feel really good. I feel really energized. And I'm very, very excited to be talking about this next piece. And, you know, from time to time here on the podcast, we rag on Coachella a little bit. But, you know, I think I didn't realize just how integral Coachella was to the festival scene, the rave scene that we know today. If it wasn't for the 20 Years in the Desert documentary that they just put out. And one thing that I really love about this documentary is that it's available for free on YouTube. And it was very well produced, Alec. I don't know what you thought, but I thought the storytelling was really great. The people that they had on to talk about Coachella through the years was awesome. So it's about an hour and 45 minutes. I think it's very, very well worth the watch. And, you know, if you guys haven't peeped it, definitely go check it out. It's going to be in the show notes like Alec has talked about. But Alec, from a high level, like, what did you think of this documentary that Coachella put together in conjunction with YouTube Originals?
I really enjoyed it, man. I thought it was a very interesting deep dive into a festival. To be honest, I've never really wondered too much about its beginnings, right? I think it's just in the age of social media, it's become something that it wasn't initially really planned for. And I just, to be honest, I wish I'd thought earlier more about, okay, how did Coachella come to be? And that was what I really enjoyed about this, is that it really dug into the people behind it, the vibes behind it, right? How it's just such, I'm going to say it again, eclectic blend of music in different genres. I mean, indie, and then assumed from indie into, you know, you had gospel in there too, rock and roll, now going into, you know, a lot more electronic music being represented there, both EDM style and, I guess, you know, like indie electronic as well. So I just really loved all of the overview that they gave and the insight, just because it comes from quite a humble beginning.
It really, really does. And I just, dude, I got to say, one thing that I was really shocked about that I did not know was that it started with the first year having just Pearl Jam on the lineup. Well, not necessarily just Pearl Jam, but like Pearl Jam was, you know, it was a one-day thing. It was pretty much like a concert, but taking place on the current venue, the Empire Polo Club. So I thought this was really cool. Pearl Jam basically had this whole tour planned for the US, right? And Pearl Jam is this UK rock band, in case you guys didn't know. And Pearl Jam actually canceled the tour because they realized that Ticketmaster pretty much owned all the ticketing rights for these venues that they wanted to play at. And I mean, Pearl Jam was a big band at the time, so they wanted to play at these massive venues. But the problem was that Ticketmaster was not willing to budge on the ticket fees that they were charging to ticket buyers. And Pearl Jam didn't think that was right. And they had some clips of Pearl Jam speaking in the courtroom and why they were suing Ticketmaster. So I thought that was really neat. And what I thought was cool was that the people behind Coachella, Golden Voice, pretty much approached Pearl Jam and was like, hey, we have this really, really great venue about, what is it, 2.5-3 hours outside of LA, Alec, in Southern California?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so we had this really cool venue out there about 2.5 hours away from LA, a place that people wouldn't even think to travel to, right? But I just loved that the organizers behind Coachella and the people who headed up Golden Voice saw this amazing opportunity with the Empire Polo Club. Like, they saw what it could be. and they took a risk on holding such a massive event so far outside of city limits. You know, like, it's just, it's pretty inspiring.
Well, and it's since
like
become more of a place to go visit, just not only just for Coachella, but Palm Springs in general. You know, it's really become a place, especially if you're into golf. It's a lot of golf courses there, I can tell you that.
Meet Alec on the green. He's going to go for a whole round of 18.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought just the humble beginnings of Coachella, like, it was just really, really well, you know, talked about in this documentary. And then just the way that they kind of formed relationships with upcoming bands. Like, it really just, it makes you realize that how, like, Coachella really did, and they still do to this day, have their pulse on rising talent that they bring to their lineups. Because, you know, the lineup is filled with people of all different you know, popularity levels, all different genres. So the way that they're able to put together, like Alka just said, a very eclectic mix of artists onto their lineup, a little bit of something for everybody, and more importantly, a great big deal of Coachella from what I took away from this documentary is music discovery. So the fact that they're giving people the ability to discover some new artists and some new sounds that they may not have ever heard otherwise is really, really neat.
It's really neat. I mean, and they've done some really interesting creative things there too. I mean, Coachella is really quite creative with things. And I love how even from the get-go, from the beginning, they're established as quite a creative, you know, festival. And they continue that onwards right into the later 2000s. I mean, what sticks out to me was how they have almost the ghost of Tupac, but they had just a hologram of him brought him back in 2012. And you've got Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg going back and forth on different verses and rhymes there with the ghost of Tupac. I thought that was great. And then we have to also talk about Daft Punk back in 2006. Man. It was the LED pyramid, am I right? Yeah, I mean, that was just, critics loved it.
I tell you.
It introduced people. I think it introduced probably quite a lot of people to, you know, in a more massive way to electronic music.
One thing that I loved about that little snippet where they were talking about Daft Punk is they were interviewing Carl Cox after that show. And I was like, oh my God, this is a young Carl Cox. And he's just basically just going on and on about how that show at Coachella with Daft Punk and the Pyramid, the first time they unveiled the Pyramid, like, it set the bar for what we know EDM today to be grand and boisterous. Yep. And like every single DJ, A-Track included, Pascal Rotella was interviewed multiple times during this documentary, but every single person literally said that that show was the turning point for bringing EDM in conjunction with a massive amount of production. And I thought that was so inspiring and so cool to see.
Yeah, it really was. And just how they've started to blend electronic music into the overall Coachella experience as well. You know, I believe last year, I couldn't believe it, but I think it was on, gosh, who was playing, but did you watch Fortet at all?
I did not watch Fortet.
Like an actual stage where there was like an indie group or something, I think, beforehand. And it was just interesting seeing that transition. And now that Coachella is comfortable enough doing that, just shows that there is more of a open mind to different types of music outside of R&B or country and indie. You know, there's people who are kind of like, okay, we'll go check out some electronic music too. So I thought that was really neat. And I feel like as soon, you know, when Daft Punk, you know, crushed that show and just showed how grandiose electronic music can be and just how there's also a visual art component to it too.
Yeah.
I just feel like after that, that's when they were like, okay, we can start really incorporating electronic music into this festival.
You know, one thing that I love that they were so transparent about is how the festival didn't really make much money for the first six editions of it.
Yeah, that's nuts, isn't it?
They only started to break a profit in 2006, which I thought was really, really interesting. Like, these people, they were losing money year over year, but they saw a vision in Coachella that, you know, maybe other people were missing. And let's just go over some of the more notable performances that they had, right? I mean, they had, oh my God, they had fucking Rage Against the Machine, dude. Rage Against the Machine. I mean, just, you know, watching the clips from that part of the documentary. And I love, well, let me just also say, like, having high definition quality clips of Daft Punk's, you know, Pyramid, or like watching Rage Against the Machine in that light, you know, was really, really neat, dude. Coachella has been postponed, but, you know, for them to be bringing back Rage Against the Machine again, I think that's really cool. And they even said them, I think they even said themselves, like, they just seem to have like a knack for bringing like bands that were previously defunct, right? Like Jane's Addiction, I think, was another one in that category.
They have a real ability to cultivate a sense of nostalgia with a sense of, you know, the present and the future, right? Like, they are able to go and get those previously defunct bands to do something quite, you know, come back and do a real nostalgia type of show. But at the same time, there's a really nice juxtaposition with they've got some of the, you know, younger up and coming artists in different genres. Right. I mean, you saw how big of a stage they gave Billie Eilish last year. And then when you just compare
that, man, dude.
Right. Like, and what a show, like just visually too, it was a fantastic, fantastic show. Like, just love that set there. And yeah, I mean, that's just, I think that's the beauty of Coachella in a way, is that they're able to juxtapose those two vibes, I guess, for lack of a better term. But, you know, what's interesting though, man, is even though I've watched this and I really appreciated the documentary and I thought it was quite cool.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I still don't think I'm going to go. I think it's just too big now. I think it's just too big, to be perfectly honest. You know, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I don't like as much the humongous festivals. Like, I like them, I do, and the spectacle they bring. But I just feel like, you know, we talked off air about this. Coachella just, for the main, you know, for the big acts, it's just, there's so many people. It just, I almost feel like you would not even see the show or see the performance.
Yeah, dude, I'm 150% with you there. And, you know, I probably have a more likelihood of going to Coachella than you do, just because I know my girlfriend really wants to go. And if I end up going, like, I'll probably make the most of it, you know, but Coachella still isn't really necessarily, like, that high on my list. I know that we really talked it up, and I think the documentary did a really good job of putting some excitement into Coachella. You know, that's what this documentary was. I mean, it gave you history, but it's also a really, really great marketing ploy to be like, yeah, this is what Coachella is all about. Like, this is all the stuff that we've accomplished. Like, come be a part of it. Yep. You know what I mean? So I thought they got their message across pretty well. But you're right, dude. I think that sometimes Coachella, like, especially for the main stage acts towards the end of the night or the end of the day, like, it just seems like those crowds are so, so, so massive to the point where, like, if you get to a set, like, kind of late, you're probably not going to be able to see much of the stage or much of the performer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine for some people. Maybe for myself, not so much. Like, Alec, you and I are the kind of people at shows and at sets to, like, more hang in the back. But I feel like, you know, we don't really run into that issue because the festivals that we go to, like, the stages are big enough. The crowds are, you know, calm enough. And I don't know, like, easy to make your way through the crowd to get to a good spot, where at Coachella, I feel like I'd have a really difficult time.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man. That's just part of the reason why I wouldn't necessarily go. But I do, you know, I don't know, man. I feel like I will at some point. It's kind of just...
Oh, baby.
It's just Alan. One that, you know, especially since I'm out on the West Coast now, it's kind of hard to just be like, yeah, I'm never going to go. It's, you know, I'm out here already.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal for me to get to, you know? So it's almost like, dude, I might as well do it. So probably if you end up going, I'll probably tag along too.
My man. Okay, I like to hear that. I like to hear that.
It's giving you more motivation. Yeah, the kids could be like, hell yeah.
Alec, how about 2023? You down for 2023?
Yeah, we got to plan 2 years in advance right now, because who knows? 2021, I don't know.
Right.
God damn. That is nuts. Just right on. What this year? What a fucking year. It's just...
I know, man. It's crazy to think that it's already like mid-April right now. Like, I feel like this year has truly flown by. Like,
just absurd.
I was just talking to my girlfriend. We were like, we were in New Zealand just a couple of months ago. You know what I mean? And now we're kind of pigeonholed into our rooms and into our homes. But
yeah,
making the most of it, dog. That's what it's all about. And speaking of making the most of it, it seems like Jaws is really making the most of it right now.
Really, really, truly taking home the point that you can make the most out of this moment. I mean, he has just apparently been producing nonstop, and he's also working very hard on his Bite This channel on Twitch, which I know is pretty popular. We'll put in a link in the show notes for that as well. But what's really, really interesting, man, is that he's got several EPs coming out, or at least ready, he said in a tweet, and they cross multiple different genres there. We've got Future, right? A full EP of just Future.
So he's doing an EP with Future?
That would be funny.
Sorry, go on. I had to say that.
So thank you for saying that. He's also got a full drum and bass. I'm really interested to see what he's done with that.
Me too.
That he's going in and trying different things here. And then, of course, this probably doesn't come as much of a surprise as the other two there, but he's got a full house EP coming out as well. I think he's talking about just going into some real house there, maybe tribute to some of the older style of house. So he's going a bit away from his bass house that has made him such a brand name. But dude, I love it's just the creativity is fantastic. And you know what? That's what I want to see from the artist community. So I'm saying it here, artists, if you're listening, I want to see you produce other genres that you've never produced before, or at least DJ it if you feel like you can't figure it out, because you know, it's not like, oh, I produce this one genre, I could just easily produce another. That they are quite difficult in their own right. So I want to see, okay, Samir, I want to see a...
Oh, shit.
I want to see a techno DJ and producer, right, start making some dubstep. And then vice versa.
Ooh,
and then vice versa.
Nice.
If there's a group out there that can do that, right, just a couple DJs across, like, you know, bridge the divide here, right? I just want to see each other try to do that, because that'd be really interesting. I wonder what they would come up with. I mean, I don't think this has happened before.
Dude, nice. I mean, Jonas is definitely the kind of guy who just loves to take risks. And you can even see that in his DJ sets as well. The man is always, always coming through with some serious diversity in his sets. And that's what makes it so fun to see him, too. Like, you could just tell he's having such a great time every time he's up there on stage, because he's keeping his sets interesting. He's keeping it fresh. He's not playing the same shit over and over again. And the way that his sound has evolved through the years, Alec, and we've talked about this multiple times on the show, but Jaws is truly the epitome of just somebody who just wants to keep evolving their sound and just executing on it in such a great way. And I'm very excited to hear his Full House EP. You know, I hope we get, you know, Danny Tanner on that EP. I think that's going to be great. You know, his full DMB EP and also his EP with Future. So I think that's going to be great. I'm joking around.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just shout out to him for doing that. He truly is I think he's the best in the game at the moment about,
shit,
you know, like, no, best, sorry, I should say not best in the game in general. I think that's a hard generalization to make there, but he's certainly up there. But he's the best in the game right now of branching out into different genres, but still doing it under his own alias, which I think is just really fascinating how he's been able to do
totally.
That. Because we've seen in the past a lot of fans don't always like that, so... Shout out to him for doing that.
Alec, before we move on, I mean, you already called out specific genres tackling other genres, but Nate, like, I want to hear from you, Alec. If there's one artist that you want to see tackle an entirely different genre, who would it be?
Well, I think there's a couple. I want to see, this is something that he's tackled before, so I'll give you two examples here. But first example is someone who's, you know, dabbled in it, done, you know, some things, done some surprise sets, pop-up sets, doing it, but I want to see Cascade do a full drum and bass album or EP.
Oh,
because
nice,
he's
done,
gone in
nice.
And done like a lot of progressive DMB, a little bit of Liquid he's DJed in too. So I really would like to see him actually just go out and be like, right, okay, I'm producing a full EP of this. He could definitely do it. I mean, I think, and he's mm-hmm. he's definitely a fan of drum and bass too. So
I think I would love to see Zed tackle some dubstep. So Zed, I'm being entirely
Absolutely.
Truthful.
Yeah,
because Zed, when he does Big Room, He has a pretty aggressive and energetic sound to some of his Big Room. Like, the song that he did with Selena Gomez is actually one of my favorite Big Room songs ever created. In the drop, it is super aggressive, dude. And I think that could transpose very well into some dubstep.
Well, I think someone who's closer to actually probably doing that is Martin Garrix. Because if you remember when we saw him at EDC, right? He dropped before it was released a Knife Party song. Do you remember where it's just randomly? Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting because it was like one song. I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. But it was well done. So I feel like he might, you know, get in on that challenge.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on just a really big limb here, and I don't think it's ever going to happen. But I think this person would actually be very good at doing this divide here. Anna producing like Future bass or something like that. Or melodic.
Wow. Dubstep. I don't know what that would sound like, but that is really interesting.
So she incorporates a lot of melodic elements into her techno sets. A lot of different, you know, layers there, which sound, I guess, yeah, for lack of a better term, it does sound almost melodic. So it'd be really interesting to see if she would be able to produce something totally different out of there. But you know, there you go. I think that's what I want to see, just people trying stuff out.
Just one last one from me. I would love to see Armin try to tackle some techno. I feel like that'd be really interesting.
I
from
feel
him.
Like he has.
I'd see, and that's why I'm saying that. Like, I feel like some of his releases sometimes, like, they draw pretty heavily on like minimal techno influences. You know what I mean? Especially in the kick. So I think he has it in him, and he's been producing for so long. Like, I feel like this could be a pretty interesting challenge for him. But we'll just have to wait and see. Like, we're putting it out there to the EDM sphere, all right? So that's what we're doing here. Dude, I want to talk to you about something that I've noticed, and this has really been popping up a lot with the virtual festivals that have been taking place. But, you know, like, I'll be looking at a festival lineup, right? I'll be scrolling down the names. I'll be like, oh, yeah, this person's good. This person's good. Then I'll stop in my tracks. I'll be like, what does that say? What is this? Like a bunch of squiggly lines with, you know, like blood dripping off of it and, you know, like hexagons everywhere. Like, what the fuck is this? Right? Dude, my anti-plur moment this week, DJ names and DJ logos that are very hard to read on lineups. Okay. Alec, do you know what I'm talking about here? Like, have you ever peeped a lineup and you like you're scrolling down the lineup and then you get to a name that you just absolutely cannot read?
Yeah, I have experienced that too. I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, dude, it is crazy because most of the time, and hey, no disrespect to dubstep. I mean, you know, I'm a fan over here. We talk about it on the podcast, but I've noticed that with a lot of bass heavy and dubstep names, those are the guys and gals that have the most hard to read logos. Like, to the point where it's just like, did you not quality check this with anybody? Like, did you not ask anybody, like, what do they think of this logo? Like, I'm pretty shocked sometimes some of these logos that come out of nowhere.
It is a really, I wonder why they've decided that this would be, is it a stylistic thing? Is that,
you know, dude,
in?
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you what. When I was in middle school and early high school, I was really, really into metal and heavy metal and, like, you know, screamo and all that. And I noticed that a lot of the bands that I was into, when they would print their logo onto t-shirts, it would look just like, it would be pretty much illegible. Like, you could not read the band name at all. And I think, especially with dubstep being so aggressive, I feel like a lot of the artists kind of grew up on heavier metal and, you know, screamo and that kind of music, where they probably drew influence from, like, metal bands, and that's how they came up with their logo. But I'll tell you what, man, I think design in general, especially online, is going towards a more simplistic and minimalistic way, where I think there's a way to strike a balance in dubstep with looking aggressive but also being legible. And I think a lot of artists are missing the mark on that, especially young ones too, where they may not have, like, representation or, like, people helping them with their branding and imaging.
It's interesting you say that, man, because I feel like I've actually noticed that as well. It does seem like people are moving towards a minimalistic style. I like that, to be perfectly honest. I do.
Me too.
I do worry at the same time. I hope not too many people do it, because then it's just like, everyone's kind of minimal. Like,
well,
imagine if it was
trends.
A full lineup of just minimalistic logos. It's like they would all blend into one another.
Dude, I would love to see a full lineup of just, like, Comic Sans. Just a black and white Comic Sans lineup all the way through. Size 12 font. Give it to me, baby. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's just submit. That's the techno head in you coming out. All about the minimalism.
Beyond the Beats presents Comic Sans Festival. No. So, you know what, dude? Like, it's just been a real gripe of mine, because I'll tell you what. I've been logging into a lot of these virtual music festivals, and I've been really, really impressed with some of the sounds that I'm seeing. But when I look at the logo and the visualizer, because sometimes there are visuals paired in, like, these Twitch streams, it's like, I can't even make this out. I can't read it. Like, I have to go to the comments and be like, all right, who is this? Like, who is playing right now? Like, what is going on right now? Because I cannot read this. So, you know,
maybe
what?
Maybe it's the mystery. Maybe they're like, oh, you can't read who I am, so you don't know.
Yeah, but then at that point, I'm just like, nah, fuck this. Because I'm like, I would love to feature this person on the podcast, but I can't because I don't know what their name is.
That's true.
I'm putting it out there. Artists, because I know we have some artists that listen to this podcast, just double check your logo. Check it with some friends. Make sure that it's legible. Make sure that your grandma can read it. You know, make sure that we can read it. Send it over to us. We'll give you our feedback. We'd love to do that. So, yeah, and speaking of connecting with us, man, let me just talk to the EDM champions real quick. Our Instagram, don't forget to hit follow. It's at btb.pod. We're on Twitter, at podbtb. We're also on Facebook. We got a website, beyondthebeats.co. And if you feel like sending us an email, please don't be afraid. It's connect@beyondthebeats.co. We would love to hear from you guys. And just keep in touch. We got some exciting things coming up over the coming weeks. So we'll tell you guys about that in a little bit. Biggest thing of all, please do not forget to hit follow in your podcasting app and also leave a rating and review. Those go a very, very long way, and we'd greatly appreciate it. Alec, where are we going next?
We are delving into the What Are We Listening To section. For those of you that are new joining us, I know we've got quite a few new EDM champions tuning in, week out. This is the section where we review and rate two different albums or tracks. For this week, we've actually just got two tracks we're going to have our rating on. But I tell you what, we've got an awesome and very unique rating scale here. So Samir, my man, introduce the people who may not have known what our rating scale is. Tell them what they need to know.
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level one is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever gonna listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level two is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not gonna really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level three is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level four is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level five is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level one is one listen, level two is background noise, level three is turn it up, level four is just bought tickets, and level five is speechless. Let's get back to it.
All right, my dude, this week on Beyond the Beats, we're talking about two interesting releases. We got Diplo and Wax Motif teaming up for their song, Love to the World, and then we got Rez and Grabitz teaming up for their song, Someone Else. Alec, let's start off with Diplo and Wax Motif for their song, Love to the World. What did you think?
Dude, I was actually really about this song. I know that you probably won't agree here, but I actually enjoyed it. I thought this was a really good vibe type of song. And maybe that's why I'm appreciative of it, because I'm all about the good vibes right now. So I just want to make sure that I get those good vibes rolling in.
The vibe king.
Exactly, man. And I feel like this song was the one to do it. What are your thoughts? I know that you might differ from me here.
I don't know, man. I appreciate the good vibes of it. I do. I just think that the message that the song was trying to send, like with the recurring lyrics and then also the soundscape behind it, I just think it was like kind of weird. It was kind of mismatched. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Like it was kind of a dark song, but then like pairing it with these sorts of lyrics.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. I don't know. I got kind of a better vibe from it, I guess, than that. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think having Wax Motif and Diplo teaming up for a house track, it was released on Higher Ground Records. So, I mean, look, it's a quality house track. It's just that I felt like the vibes of the message that they were trying to convey and the overall soundscape that they put together were just a little bit too mismatched, where it left me a little bit confused.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see what you're saying with that. I could definitely see where you're coming from there. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is not like it's my favorite release here, but mm-hmm. I think it's I also appreciated the fact that I think Diplo blended quite well with Wax Motif on this one too. I do feel like totally. They actually had. So I do appreciate that as well. So I think from a collaboration standpoint, this was a good decision. And I'm also just, you know, really pumped on the fact that Diplo is starting to take this house stuff seriously and he's really starting to delve into it. I love that.
Dude, I thought it was really, really interesting just kind of going back to the Coachella documentary, like how his sound from like, I think it was like his 2012 or 2013 set when he was playing in the Sahara tent was like just so much more kind of jungle based. And now like just to see him producing and managing a house music label, I think is really, really interesting. It's a very interesting flip for him.
It really is. It's different, man. And I hope he continues to do it. So you know what, man? I think we can just chalk this up to some differences here a little bit. We can agree to disagree on this song, I think. I don't know. I wasn't as big on it maybe as some people would be, but I think I appreciated it perhaps a little bit more than you did on this one.
Yeah, it sounds like you did. And I'm interested to get your thoughts now on Rez and Grabitz teaming up for their song, Someone Else. What did you think?
So we might differ here too. I enjoyed it, but I didn't enjoy it that much. It was not something that grabbed my attention necessarily. I really like how Rez is starting to use more vocals now. Just kind of switching things up. And again, it's like, it's hard when you have such an iconic sound and it's very hard to branch further off in that. There's only, I think, in the whole mid-tempo area, there's only so much you can do in terms of real creativity, right, with it. I think the structure might be a little bit more limiting than other genres. But that's not to say that there can't be some really, you know, unique takes. So I think what Rez has done by saying, okay, the way we can be more creative here is start putting in vocals. Because just remember, I mean, she never really used to use vocals at all in her tracks, and not too often in her DJ sets. So I think having the addition of vocals in here, because the last couple of releases have had it, they've been more of this style, I've really enjoyed that part of it. But I will say it's just not something that I'm going to be listening to all that often, I don't think. What about you?
Yeah, you know what, man? I gotta say, I think this one really, really captured me. And I like, you know, we're getting... I'm trying to figure out a way to word this, but it seems like we're getting more and more kind of rock-influenced vocals bass music kind of infused together. And I really, really like Rez doing this with Grabitz because I think Rez is actually somebody who'd be perfect to have a more darker mood of a song with darker vocals in it. I thought the vocals, to be completely honest with you, were just a little bit cheesy once again.
Yeah,
like it's like one of those like weird love songs, which is, you know, like, why don't you notice me? You know, you're with somebody else, but why aren't you with me? Like, I hate songs like that. You know what I mean? Just from a vocal standpoint. However, it's not something that's like terribly groundbreaking for Rez. But I like that she's not falling into the trap of like, okay, I'm going to do like this space bass kind of, you know, sound again. And like, you know, I'm going to trip some people out. Like, I can really picture this going very nicely, like in the middle of a set to kind of cool people down. I'm actually a really big fan of this song. It is certainly something that I'd listen to again. So without further ado, Alec, I'm interested to get your rating on the song Love to the World by Diplo and Wax Motif. What did you think?
So for this one, I'm going to go ahead and give it a level 3 out of 5. Just turn it up. I thought this was a song that I appreciated probably a little bit more than you did, man. But it's just something that puts me in a good vibe. So if I'm going to hear this song going on in the background, I'll turn it up a little bit. It's got, you know, got a little bit of a darker tint to it as well. So it just keeps you kind of making me want to move a bit if I was out on the dance floor there. But I genuinely appreciate this song and I would turn it up if I heard it. Hence the rating. What about you, man?
Yeah, dude, you know me. I'm going to have to give this one a level 2 out of 5 background noise. I don't mind if the song is going to be on. But to be honest, it's just not one of those songs where I'm going to actively try to seek it out or try to put onto one of my playlists or anything of the sort. It's just not for me. I was just a little bit too confused by this song. It didn't seem like it had a cohesive enough direction for me to appreciate it. So that those are my thoughts right there. Alec, turning this one over to Rez and Grabitz for their song Someone Else. What did you think?
See, this is a tough one, man. And I know we don't do decimals here. So, you know.
Don't you dare say it.
It's just because it's like, you know, sometimes some songs are on the fence for you, you know, where it's just in between. And, man, this is going to be.
These are life skills about making a decision.
It's bullshit, Samir. Bullshit. No. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a decision on this one. This is going to be a level 2 out of 5 background noise for me. This is definitely probably a harsh rating for it, but my reasoning behind it is it's not a song that I'm just, when I hear it, going to be like, oh yeah, let's crank this one up, really enjoy this song. It's just not something that's going to make me do that. I think I would really enjoy it as part of a cool down period of a set, right? But just as a standalone song, it's not something that I'm going to be, you know, going to my playlist to go put on in the car, for instance, or something like that. So I don't know, man. I feel like you're going to differ from me here again, too.
I'm going to differ from you slightly. I'm going to give this one a level 2.5 out of 5.
See, this is why we need decimals. This is exactly why. It's great.
But where does it end, Alec? Decimals
only
go on forever,
dude.
Only
one decimal place. You don't have to go to like 2, obviously.
Yeah, but then I need to talk about, you know, every 10th a new rating, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. This one for me is going to be a level 3 out of 5. It's going to be a turn it up. It's not enough for me to buy tickets to go see Rez or Grabitz. It's just not there. However, I actually thought that the blending of the two styles came together really, really nicely. So I like the execution on this track. I like the tone of it. And I like that Rez is switching it up a little bit. And I think that's absolutely necessary. So that's me, dude. Level 3 out of 5. Turn it up.
All right, man. Well, there we go. No decimals. No decimals at all. Just hard, harsh decisions there.
Exactly.
I feel like we don't disagree actually too much on it. So it's a little bit, you know, it's interesting that we both had slightly different takes on songs this week, which is probably good. People are probably tired of hearing us agree on everything. You know, like we do tend to give things the same rating, actually. Like,
we do. We've just been doing this for a while now that I feel like we're kind of in sync in our interests.
Yeah.
So I need to spend less time with you, if anything.
Yeah, exactly, man. Definitely not. We're just going to stop talking to each other.
Exactly.
We can have our own Beyond the Beats podcasts.
There you go. Dueling podcast. But dude, here we go. We got an artist that we're watching. We got two new artists over here. Very excited to get these underground artists to the forefront, get them to a bigger audience. It literally is, and we say this every episode, it is our favorite part about doing this show because we genuinely care about putting underground artists on and just trying to help them succeed. And I think especially during this time, now more than ever, we need to be supporting artists, and we need to help them grow. And that comes from a powerful community like the EDM community. So without further ado, EDM champions, here we go. Alec, you've got an artist that you're watching. Tell me about your artist, because this is going to be good stuff. Let's hear it.
I mean, this is another guy who's just going to take you to a whole another level, potentially even to a different dimension. His tracks really captivate you. They bring in with these really long, amazing build-ups. And that's why I'm going to play this track for you here. It's definitely one of his most famous, and it's a remix of this song called The Wall. Welcome to the sounds of Bunshin. Take a listen, enjoy, revel in this atmospheric music.
This is some unique stuff over here. Something that I feel like we don't come across very often, especially as music consumers in the United States of America. But dude, what is this, man? If I want to find some new music of this type, what should I be looking up, dog? This is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I wanted to put it onto the podcast, is because this is a very rising subgenre of drum and bass right now that's taken across Europe. It hasn't quite made its way over to the US yet. So people probably like, okay, is this actually drum and bass? Like, what is this? And the answer is yes. This is really kind of a combination of what they call tech step with neuro funk. And there's probably another subgenre in there. I'm not mentioning D&B here to be like, come on, man, you got to know this. There's so many different subgenres and so many different categories. It's awesome. But
I know it is actually insane.
It's insane. Like,
we
like,
talk about
this,
we got to get a reference or a dictionary.
Yeah, yeah. You really need a whole D&B, a database almost for all the different labels. But that just speaks to the deep culture that comes along with it, particularly in the UK. You'll find there as well, and just in Europe as well. I mean, you've got a real up and rising stars coming out of Amsterdam, and this guy is just, you know, absolutely crushing it right now. But you know what, man? What's even more amazing about Bunshin is just how quickly he has taken the scene by storm. I mean, he only has been in the scene for about 2 years. That's it. And he's already got a release on Mousetrap called Overwork, which is a great, great track. And then you've also got another one, another personal favorite of mine is Acolyte, which you can find on the show notes that I'll put up both of the links there. He is just really decided to take this whole tech influence, atmospheric layers, almost trance-like in that, and neuro-funk influence, and just mashed all this stuff together into just what is really kind of a masterpiece. It's got aggression to it, but it's got also, you know, like a certain vibe to it as well. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's got really different ends of the emotional spectrum there. But the drops are just always jam-packed, full with energy, a little bit of aggressive edge there, but the build-ups have a certain melody to its atmospheric darkness that it has in there. So absolutely big fan of this guy. Big up to you, man. Really killing the game right now.
Dude, I love this. And, you know, we're all about some unique sounds here on Beyond the Beat, something that people won't ever come across, you know, or they'll have a hard time coming across. So thank you so much for introducing us to, and I hope I'm saying this right, Bunshin.
I think that's how. I'm just
S-H-I-N.
I was confident with pronouncing it, so I'm really hoping.
Yeah, you were pretty confident.
I know.
Alec, your word is Bunshin.
That is, I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. I really hope. I hope.
I love it. No, I love that, man. Thank you so much. All right, dude. Can I? Dude, I'm just going to reach out through this microphone, grab you while wearing gloves and a face mask, and pull you through back over here to the New York City area, dude. Because I want to take you back to some techno over here, dude. I'm going to bring you back with my man, Charles D., based out of New York, New York. What up, my guy? He has just over 400 followers on SoundCloud. All right, but let me just tell you guys something about Charles D. The way that I came across him, you guys are gonna laugh at this, but Epic Radio, which is Eric Pritz's radio show, just came back. It just started this past weekend, and he was playing some techno, and he played this song by Charles D, and it's called Amplify. Guys, if you like techno, if you like some peak evening time techno, I'm talking it's like 2 a.m. in the warehouse, everybody's dancing, everybody's ready to just lose their freaking minds, then you're going to be ready for this song right here. Guys, check it out. This is Amplify by Charles D. Check it out.
You described it perfectly. I mean, this is something that you would expect to be blaring out in a warehouse somewhere at 2 o'clock in the morning. Just fantastic. I can't believe he doesn't have that many followers. How'd you come across him?
Like I said, man, I was just listening to Eric Pritz's radio show and he dropped this song and my mind was blown, dude. Like, I had to go to the track list. I had to go find out who this guy was. I had to contact him on Facebook and be like, yo, this song is absolutely wild. I want to get you featured on the show. I got to feature your music. I mean, this guy has had some serious, serious success so far. Take a look at this, man. His music is obviously, it's been played by Eric Pritz. I mean, it's been played by Eric Pritz multiple times on the radio show. He also played as Sirius D at Ultra Australia. So Eric is actually a big fan of this guy's music. It's been played by Adam Baer on the Drum Code radio show. It's been played by Simon Patterson. I mean, this guy, you gotta give it up to him, man. I mean, he has some serious accolades underneath his belt with such a small following. He's got his own radio show called Synthesize Radio, and a lot of his tracks, they start trending on Beatport in the techno charts and in the subcharts of techno. So this guy, he's really got his sound on lock. He's got a really loyal fan base. And you know what? You could add me to that fan base. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what else Charles D puts out. And I'm very excited for EDM Champions to peep him as well.
Dude, thank you so much for introducing us to Charles D. And the last thing I'll have to say is, talk about a minimalistic name.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not mincing words. Like, if you were to email this guy, he's not going to ask you about how your day is going. He's not going to ask you about his cat. He's just going to be like, when can I get those financial reports?
Samir notoriously hates small talk for whatever reason. Just genuinely hates it. But you're such a talkative guy. Like, I don't understand. How does that happen? Does that not cause severe cognitive dissonance in your head? Like, this is the type of guy who just goes around at festivals talking to random people. And then I hear him like, oh, cut the small talk. I hate it. Like, it doesn't make sense. How can you be both?
When it comes down to business, I want to get to the point. Because I think we just waste too much time with the niceties and the small talk. But, you know, if I'm in a carefree environment with my dogs, with my friends, with the EDM champions, dude, I'm down to talk to other people. I'm down to shoot the shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's all about.
You're one of the most outgoing people I know, but it's just so funny. You would never expect to have that, you know.
Thanks,
homie. That, you know, I don't know. It's not quite a contradiction, but
sometimes I feel like I'm like the only person who hates like business small talk. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever met like anybody else who like genuinely dislikes it as much as I do. Because I really dislike it.
I've never come across anybody. It's quite hilarious.
And that's why when like we were emailing people for Beyond the Beat stuff, and I'm like, oh, I gotta put in some small talk. I gotta put in some niceties. Even though I don't want to, like I got it. Like when it comes to like emailing Alec, I'm just like, yo, here's this. You know what I mean?
I'm just gonna start adding in more small talk.
Don't you dare. I'm blocking you.
Oh god.
But dude. I'm glad you're doing all right. I'm doing well out here too, and I hope everybody is doing well, you know, all around the world. Like, it's pretty cool, man. I don't know if you've taken a look at our stats lately, but just to see consistent listenership in pretty much every single continent, like, you know, it's cool to see that we're reaching a worldwide audience, and I really hope that no matter where you are in the world, like, you're keeping safe and you're doing all right and you're listening to some dope tunes. Like, share your tunes with us. We would love to hear from you guys.
Absolutely, man. I mean, shout out to Mexico, who has stormed up to be our third country, I believe, in terms of listenership. So shout out to you guys over there in Mexico, and just wherever you are, you know, don't be afraid just to say hi. You can DM us, right? So we're on Instagram, that's at btb.pod, or you can DM us on Twitter, that's at podbtb. And if you want to be formal and give Samir some small talk, right, you can email us connect@beyondthebeats.co. but man, I'm just glad that we were able to keep going with this podcast. You know, it's something that I look forward to every week, especially in this kind of grim time. And, you know, it's nice to be able to have this, you know, week in, week out, something that's stable and consistent. So just a general thank you to everybody who's continuing to support us and follow us. It means a lot. It makes this all worthwhile to do.
Totally. And next week, we have a very special guest coming onto the show.
Oh, we do.
Not going to spill any names or any secrets, but I'm telling you guys, you're going to want to tune in. We're very excited to be talking to her. So stick around. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Don't forget to drop a rating and review. And until then, go to your bathroom and go wash your hands.